Good evening, happy Monday, welcome along. You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris, coming up on tonight's show. Cormac Rangers manager Gerard Palmer reflects on their win after extra time against Éire Óg in the Munster Senior Ladies Football Championship quarter-final as they now advance to semi-final action against Kilmetal of Clare this weekend. We'll be hearing all about the Blues. Blue, it's really been another defeat to Derry. Two games left. Can the Blues avoid that dreaded relegation playoff? But first, I'm joined on the line by a world medalist, European medalist, you name it, he's probably won it, none other than Joe Goff. You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris on WLR. Now, I'm delighted to say I am joined on the line by European Masters gold medalist, that is none other than West Waterford's Joe Goff. Joe, you are flying home from Madeira today with gold, silver and two more national records in the bag. Another absolutely fantastic time out in Portugal. Massive congratulations to you. You must be delighted.
I am, Jordan. Thank you so much for the call. And we are here on our last day in Madeira and just finishing our packing to fly back to sunny Ireland in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's definitely not sunny, Joe. I can 100% confirm that to you. But yesterday in the 800 metres, you took gold, but the finish was so frantic. There was just milliseconds separating the front three, if I'm not mistaken. Would you might remind our listeners how you managed to get to the line first?
Well, yeah, well, with the last 100 metres, there actually was five of us. As somebody said, you could throw a blanket over five of us going up the home straight to the finish. And I was in third place, you know, and there was and the French guy who has actually just come into my age group and like was the or is the current French champion. He was vying for first place with the Latvian who was last year's European the champion, and he had the fastest time of us so far. And basically they were heading up towards the finish with about 50 meters left to go, and I was behind them a yard or two, like behind them, and as they were shooting up for the finish, there was a small gap appearing between them, and I said, "Joe, this is your chance to go now." So I went with about 40 meters left to the finish, and I just slid in between the two of them. The French guy was on my right side, and the Latvian was on my left, and so we were equal for about 10 yards with about 15 yards left to go, and I just made a final burst. I said, "Now it's either do or die," and the finish line just came in time, and I won it by Jordan, by inches, by 6, 7, 8. 8 inches, and I was delighted because it was such, you know, somebody said it was the race of the championship because people were so excited, and between the five of us at the finish, I think there was only a second between the five of us. So I was steeped with luck just to see that gap appearing, and I said, "Right, Joe, just go now, or else you won't get this." So it was just like head down. You know, ears back, and I head for the line, and I was so delighted and thrilled to actually get there first.
Absolutely, yeah. But I mean, you don't do the risk, you don't get the reward. That's it, isn't it? And overall, Joe, like the championships themselves, you competed in the 400 meters. I believe you medaled as well, silver in the 1500 meters. Like it was a phenomenal excursion, because you know there's so many different disciplines you're competing at shorter and longer distances. Like I just don't know how you keep going.
Well, but also, and what people forget as well is the championships here are over a 2 week period, and they are in different stadiums. So you are actually hopping on buses to actually get to a stadium. You are warming up, and then you preheat before your final, and then you do the same thing the following day, and then you go to a different stadium to the final. And it's all like go, go, go. And it's not like just go on the track and race your 800. There's so much more attached to it, also that you have to rest appropriately between the various races. Like in the 2 weeks or 10 days really, I had six different races, and plus the heat. I know, like you're saying, the weather isn't great in Ireland, but it was hot here now. It was about 28 like degrees, and that's hot for us, especially when you're running a full belt. And normally these tracks here are very open. There's no shelter, so you have to be aware of the heat and your hydration and your nutrition and your rest and your sleep, and all that goes on for 10 days. And and by the end of it, you say, God, I'm so glad it's all over,
Of course. Well, exactly. At least you're coming back through the airport security, as we mentioned, with two medals and two national records under your belt. But Joe, I mean, I think you mentioned it to me. Masters athletics as a whole is getting harder and harder because I think across the world people are, they're living fitter for longer. And I think that's made the actual standard of the competitions harder, which makes your achievements all the more remarkable.
I mean, I'd say, without a shadow of a doubt, the standards are rising at a global level. People are staying in sports longer. They're watching their health, their fitness, their nutrition. Everything is done really on a professional basis now. And a person of 50 is as good as a person of 30 a number of years ago. A person of 70 like as good as a person of 40, so 10 years ago. I mean, I mean, to see what people are doing, it is really like it is inspiring, because you say, oh my God, I'm tired, I'm finished, I'm going to stop this now, and then you see somebody at 85 or 90 doing something and said, my God, look at them. They are so sylph-like, they're so lean, they're so happy in themselves. And I said, my God, but isn't it a great way to live,
Yeah, 100%.
like you have all the health benefits, and you have all the joy of living healthily and happily.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I think the people that you meet along the way competing at these championships internationally as well, like the stories that you'll be able to tell as well, like it just goes to show across the globe there's just kind of been a sea change in terms of attitude, and there's people across the board that are defying general expectations.
Up to 100%, and I think, times for races we'd actually get faster. People will achieve far greater things, even what they are achieving now. I mean, look, I know, when I reached 30, the general feeling was, now, Joe, just sit down now, retire, lie. It's bad for your heart. But now you go to any medic and they'll say, exercise is the key. Go out, go walk, move, So we have changed our own kind of mindset, and by doing that, we have enabled the possibilities in our own lives as to what we can achieve in a joyous way, not in a regimented machine way, but in a joyous, happy way that, God, I'm actually better than I thought I was. And the feeling of knowing that no matter what activity or what endeavor that you undertake, I think it's wonderful to have, because we do live in a world of turmoil and crisis and chaos. So it's nice to experience almost a kind of a spiritual well-being as well as a physical. And And you only get that through exercise and just being, you know, being in the outdoors and being in nature, you know, trail running, mountain running, hill running, all of that is beautiful. And actually Waterford has that aplenty with the beaches and the woods and the Cumbers. You know, I mean, Waterford is blessed with facilities, you know, outdoor facilities. So there really is no excuse.
There definitely isn't. And like, again, Joe, I think the most pleasant person that you can surprise sometimes in your life is yourself, when you defy your own expectations and the limits you might believe are on yourself. But like, when you look at 2025 for you, world medals, European medals, British Masters, national records, like, I imagine you must surprise yourself sometimes, no?
Yeah. I mean, look, I've had a great year. I was the world champion in indoors in Florida. I went to the British Championships and I came home with three gold medals, a European gold, Irish records. I mean, I have, from the half marathon to the 200 meters, I have 23 Irish records that are currently standing.
Wow.
That's from 200 meter sprint to a half marathon. I have Irish records in that now. So I can do, I can cover a lot of distances with a pretty good chance of doing well in most of those distances.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of speaks for itself, Joe. I mean, that's incredibly unique.
Yeah, but I must thank my coach, Dick Murphy, who is my coach now for 35 years through thick and thin. And he really has given me programs throughout the years to allow me to perform. Okay, my main event is, as you know, the 800 meters. But when you're doing middle distances, like, you have to do speed work, you have to do endurance. So you're hitting long stuff and you're hitting the short stuff for the middle distance. So it means I could go into a 10K road race in Dungarvan tomorrow and I would do pretty well. I could also go into a 4x400 meter sprint team and I could do pretty well, only because of the training that I'm doing. And I must thank the RSC, but the Regional Sports Centre in Killabarry, Dick Murphy, who actually comes down two or three times a week to me on the track, hail, rain or shine. He doesn't get paid for it. This is all voluntary, and like, he will time me, advise me, and actually get ready for international races. I mean, like, that is amazing contribution that he has given. Plus, he has given it to other athletes as well. But I mean, but the fact that that he has stood by me for 35 years is it shows his strength of purpose and his passion for the sport and his loyalty to his athletes. You know, and to me, he is one of the unspoken heroes of Waterford, you know?
100%. And it's an incredible loyalty, not just to yourself, but to the sport itself, Joe. I have to ask the question that will be on everyone's lips. Are you going to relax a bit when you come home now, Joe? Or are you going into something else?
I will. I mean, I love to do my garden. And I love to spend time out there, you know, planting and as somebody said, when my racing is actually going well, my garden is full of weeds because I'm not giving it the time. So now it's time to make my garden go well, and my racing can be full of weeds for a while, you know.
I don't think there's any fear of that happening whatsoever. Anyways, Joe, wish you a safe flight home. Massive congratulations, and I really, really appreciate you joining me. Well done again.
And listen, thank you for all your support, interest, and backing, okay? Thanks, Jordan, okay?
Thanks very much, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a million. Welcome back. Now, we're going to turn our attentions to soccer. Waterford FC lost out 2-1 to Derry City on Friday last. meaning with two games to go, they remain in ninth place in the League of Ireland Premier Division table, that dreaded relegation playoff spot. Let's have a listen to what interim manager Matt Lawler had to say to Ray Scott afterwards, and then we're going to catch up with Ray for his own thoughts ahead of a crucial few weeks for the club.
Really, really brightly. Everything that we wanted and everything we worked on, first 34, 35 minutes, I thought genuinely we were outstanding. Energy, desire, play, moving the ball, getting in behind him, sliding down the sides, getting crosses, getting chances, scored 1-0 up and then just mad 7 minutes of nonsense, if I'm honest. Individual mistakes, yeah, we have to take them. It's hard to swallow at times, but change the complexion of the game. Moments, I talk about this every week with you, Ray. Moments, look after your moments. Be good at what you're supposed to be good at. Just gifting the best player in the league a goal in Duffy. You can't do it. So for me, I was relatively pleased. Well, really pleased with 35 minutes of it. Towards the end, they need to manage moments. That hence why we're probably in the position that we are. Something that we'll address yet again. And the second half, a bit scrappy. But didn't feel threatened again against a really, really good team. We've just gifted him two goals. It changes the complexion and everyone's perception of the game. My perception of the game, my feeling coming out. So, yeah, that would be my take on it.
It was so positive from the get-go, right from the whistle at the beginning of the game. And you took the game to Derry and you got that reward. I mean, it was a great goal.
Yeah, brilliant goal. That's what I said. We started really quick, panicked them, dominated the game, in my opinion, 35 minutes. Everything that we want to be, right? We need to do it at 60-70 to take real control of the game. And it's easily achievable, but we just can't keep gifting moments to really good players. So if you do that, you get punished, and we got punished tonight. Again, I can't remember them. Stevie didn't really have a save to make. He had a couple of half chances, but we've gifted them two really soft moments, and they just take advantage of it. So, yeah, stuff that we can work on, stuff that we can be pleased with and consolidate on. I just said to him, there was pleasing moments, but not enough. We need to make it, rather than 35 minutes, we need to make it 70 minutes of control, because then you can always have 20 minute spells where you're under the cosh, but we need to make it sure that we're on it.
When you look at the chances, and you talk about moments, but the chances as well, Brian Maher made two fantastic saves from Podge, and from Tommy as well. So, you know, though if they had been converted, it might be a different complexion in this game, but
exactly.
if is the big question, isn't it?
If buts and maybes. They're the moments I'm talking about, both boxes. So in our box, we've just gifted chances, and then we've not scored, and we should score. Someone is a good watch, and Tommy disappointed not to score then. Listen, I thought them two and Conan really, really, really worried for 35 minutes. That's the front three that gets in most teams in this league. It's a front three that gets the most in this league, so we have to feed it, but they will be disappointed they didn't have chances. But again, it changes the outcome, the perception of the game. Like, if you think about performances, obviously result really, really determines what people think of performance. There was elements of that performance I was really pleased with, but we just need to sustain it for a lot bigger period of time, and we also need to make sure we're not gifting moments and taking our moments in the other box.
And staying on the moments theme, of course, there was a lot of shouts for penalties there tonight, two or three. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know what I can and can't say, so I'll stay away from that, Ray, because the stone cold, like stonewall penalties, one of them at least is so disappointing. But yeah, nothing we can do about it now. I'm not one to talk about officials, really, if I'm honest, but yeah, moments then. Everyone looks after moments. I look after my moments. Their manager looks after their moment in the week. The players look after their moments, but also officials. So, yeah.
And the other results, of course, have now meant that Waterford dropped back into that playoff relegation spot. So, a lot of work to be done ahead of the St. Pat's game, and ultimately, you know, we're two games out from the end.
Yeah, so we can only control what we can control now. It's up to us to put that to bed quickly, which we will do, come in Sunday, and make sure that we're planning towards St. Pat's, the St. Pat's game, and getting a positive result there. Even though it's not net technically in our hands, it is, because we're going to that last game. We need to keep it alive till then, and we will. We will do everything in our power. And we'll just concentrate one game at a time. We've got two games on to try it on now. Just spoke to the players there. It's us. Nothing separates us. Nothing comes between us. We're at it again.
Now, we've just heard Ray Scott in conversation with Waterford FC interim boss Matt Lauder. Ray joins me on the line now. Ray, I suppose the talk keeps coming back all the time to moments being decisive, but it seems to be the case where any time where there is a moment that proves decisive in a match, it tends to be Waterford FC shooting themselves in the foot.
I think that's being polite about it, Jordan, to be honest with you. It is has been crazy, you know, absolutely crazy. If you look at even over the last couple of games, you know, you had Kacper Radkowski on Friday evening, you know, conceding two goals in 7 minutes is another one. We had the mistake, Stephen McMullen, against Bowles when he dropped the ball into his own net. Nobody around, not even his own players. There was no challenge. Even the Bowles players at that time thought that the ball is up. I actually thought from our commentary position the ball was going to gone out over the bar for a goal kick, but no, drops and he puts it in. You know, goals against Shamrock Rovers back in September, you know, those two goals, the late goals conceded against Sligo. So we have right throughout this season, when you go all the way back, we're looking at us shooting ourselves in the foot.
Definitely, Ray. And I mean, the forwards have created a lot of chances in recent weeks. They just haven't hit the net enough. Then they were denied, obviously, a Stonewall penalty on Friday night. We won't go into that. But look,
I think it was three, actually, Jordan. There were three penalty shouts.
Absolutely. And again, defensive disaster number 100 of the season then hands Derry the points on a plate. And they talk about moments. Like, my main question would be, how many more moments do this group think that they actually have? Like, time is fast running out, unfortunately.
I think we're actually, maybe time has already run out when we look at the other results that the weekend didn't go our way whatsoever. And we now find ourselves back in ninth spot. There's three teams on 37 points. The goal difference is going to be crucial. Galway still have a game in hand on both Shells and our Sligo and ourselves, because they have to play Shamrock Rovers, I think, on the Wednesday before the final round of games on Saturday week. And when you talk about moments, shooting ourselves in the foot, I think it's summed up. I think there's been 19 moments, and that's the 19 goals in the goal difference. We've conceded 58 goals this season. Yeah. Right? Cork are relegated, you know. And when you look at Cork being relegated, and you're going, yeah, but their goal difference is 27, minus 27, right? They've conceded only one goal more than us. 59 goals this season. They've scored only 32, hence the difference in the goal difference being significantly worse. But like, to concede 58 goals, it's no wonder we're down in ninth, you know?
Absolutely.
And like, that's going to come into play on Friday, on Saturday week, because we needed to have at least a point between us going into those final games, because if it stays in goal difference, obviously we're not going to make up 19 goals. It's 6 on Sligo and it's 13 on Galway. So unless we have a glorious day on Friday night or an evening at Ainshie Coram, we beat St. Pat's 13-0. I don't think that's going to happen, is it?
You know, I think the fact that we're talking about things like that, and the fact that we're looking at probably having to pick up 6 points from six in the last two games, summarizes the season so well. Like, even irrespective of what happens in the weeks ahead, whether we end up in that dreaded relegation playoff or not, Ray, like, this season has left so many more questions than answers.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we go back to, you know, the season started with Keith Long, and you know, even at the beginning of the season, there were question marks about recruitment. Does that fall at Keith Long's feet, or does it fall at Fleetwood Group in general? You know, he departs the scene after that dreadful run of results in February, March, April. Matt Lawler comes in, the hero. He was assistant manager last year. He comes in, lost the first game, if we remember. That was against Cork on Easter Monday, but then went on a run of three games, I suppose, before John Coleman came in. He oversaw the game, the win in Shelburne on May 5th on the Bank Holiday Monday. And then John Coleman and Danny Ventry, who were in the stands that day, came in. And we beat Galway 1-0, I think, the following Friday night. So then we lost. You know, we had a couple of draws, which is something that we don't tend to do. We either win or lose. I think we've only had 4 draws all season. And 3 of those were 2-2 draws. We talk about the 2-1 losses with 2-2 draws as well. And if we look at those, you know, we were ahead as well, or we have, you know, in some of those games. So it is a question mark when we look back on the season. Where are we at? Where are Waterford FC now in relation to Premier Division football? Where are they in relation to how we build going forward. If we do survive this season, which I think we have it in ourselves, you know, I know the questions will be asked of the players, but you know, we should be better than the first division teams that are fighting it out over the next fortnight for those for that playoff spot. We should be better than those, but it's going to be a one-off game, so we've got to be so careful, you know, and we can't afford those mistakes, those moments, as Matt Lawler keeps talking about it. But I think Matt Lawler is he's such a positive guy, and you know, really likable. And the players seem to respond to him as well. And that's a question as well that's in the back of my... It nags me every time I see the players go out. You know, we got that win against Drogheda last week. And, you know, Matt's first game in charge along with Mark Yates. And I'm going, how can the players do it for Matt Lawler? But they haven't been doing it for John Coleman or Keith Long or whatever. Those questions, for me, have never been answered.
100%. And I think so much of it comes back to momentum, Ray, because like there's been no shortage of those kind of standalone results where you think, okay, that's the point where things can kind of kickstart this season. Like there's been a lot of false dawns, those kind of standalone results. Like you think of the win up in Galway, winning against Cork, Talca Park, like, but they've counted for nothing because the momentum has been halted almost instantly every time it seems like, you know, something's going to happen. There's never really been a case of a couple of good results in succession. And the thing that kind of annoys me is there's a lot of people saying, you know, oh, well, they're too good to go down. But like you hit the nail on the head there a minute ago. I know there's probably a little bit of a gulf in class between the Premier Division and the First Division, but confidence and momentum is going to have a massive role to play in the next few weeks.
If they're too good to go down, then each and every one of those players with that blue shirt on their back and should be able to step up and say, we're too good to go down and we're not going to go down.
Yeah.
But not going to go down is they should have been saying that back in May. If you remember, we had just coming into the mid-season break, I think we played Pats away. We got a late draw on that one, a Conor Noonan goal, 2-2 in that, and then followed it up at home the last game before the break. It was a 2-2 draw. And I spoke to John Coleman after that game. And John Coleman said, Danny Ventry has just been in the dressing room saying, lads, you're going off on your mid-season break. And he said, we're challenging for Europe. And if you're not up for that fight, don't come back, right? And every single one of the players came back, right? and yet we still lost. We lost to Galway, or sorry, to Sligo in that first game back, right? Yeah. Then we turned around. We beat Bohemians at home when they had walloped us earlier in the season at home 3-0. We then go up to we have Shelburne at home. We win that. Then we lose two in a row. And you're going, where is this momentum, as you just spoke about? We then beat Cork at home, 2-0. We beat Mochtas in the Cup, 5-1. And then we go to Galway, where we haven't won since 2007, and we win 4-2. And you're going, that's three in a row. That was a momentous result, that 4-2, you know, that first win.
Absolutely.
And then we start, and we go on this losing streak again. One win since that game against Galway. That was last Sunday week against Drogheda. And the moments that Matt Lawler should be talking about are the moments where we have a little bit of individual class, or we have a little bit of, you know, we take advantage and we score. Not those moments where we're conceding. That's a huge issue for me.
Absolutely. I think to sum it up, Ray, I think the sense of resignation as to where we'll probably find ourselves come the final league table is starting to reign supreme. But again, maybe things are out of our hands in the last two league games, but it's down to the players. If they do end up in that dreaded relegation fight, and look, we've been in that playoff so many times and it's proven heartbreaking for us, but look, if ever there was a time to just stand up and be counted and then just give yourself an opportunity to redress from there, it's going to come in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we've two games left, don't we? You know, that game on Friday night in Inchicore against St. Pat's, which we'll have live on WR, of course, thanks to John Murphy Carpets. Yeah. That's going to be huge. And again, a little bit like Derry, you never know what team you're going to get with St. Pat's. So let's hope that we can get a team, even get at least a point out of that. We'll all be watching the other games as well. Cork are playing Sligo on Saturday night, all right, at the Showgrounds. Cork already relegated, but Sligo are going to be batting for life. They finish against Shamrock Rovers. Of course, Galway have to go to Shamrock Rovers next Wednesday week, and then they come to us. So we could be, you know, it's still in our hands, I think.
Yeah, twists and turns to come, 100%.
And with only two games left, it's funny that we're talking like that. There's twists and turns. But, you know, Galway have to go to Tala, Shamrock Rovers. Maybe they'll be presented with the trophy that night because they're away in Sligo on the last game of the season. But, you know, 6 points, we'll be fine. You know, if that's the thing, you know. So let's remain positive. Let's say we are going to get 6 points. We have to finish on a high. And, you know, Yatesy and Lawler will actually have the players firing on all cylinders for two games. There's 2 weeks left in the season, I hope, not three.
Absolutely. Well, stranger things have happened, Ray. Fingers crossed. But we'll do our best to remain positive in the meantime. Thanks a million for joining me, Ray.
You're welcome.
Now, Waterford Ladies football champions Comer Rangers advanced to the Munster semi-final yesterday. The back-to-back Waterford champions advanced past the Cork side Éire Óg following a tense battle at the St Mullerans grounds, which required extra time, but they went out on a scoreline of 112-25. They're now looking forward to the last four. I'm joined on the line by their manager, Ger Power. Ger, fantastic to get the victory yesterday. Hard-fought win after extra time. Real, real difficult conditions. But again, the result is all that matters.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah, it was, I suppose it was a real war of attrition, I suppose, you know. It wasn't a day for flashy football or anything like that. It was a real war of attrition. And I think the girls came through, like they showed real endurance, persistence and resilience, which they've shown on numerous times in the past. You know, they kept grinding and grinding and eventually got a result. So we're happy to be going into the next round, yeah.
Absolutely, and coming up against Éire Óg, like Cork champions, the Cork Championship itself is so competitive. I know you came up against Cork opposition again last year on your way to the Munster final as well, Ger. So, like, it goes without saying, once you go into provincial territory, every single side you come up against is going to be a serious, serious challenge.
That's right, yeah. Like, every team that wins a county title will have been through various stages, you know, and they'll have to build up a bit of momentum, I suppose, you know, and a bit of confidence. So, yeah, Cork have a lot of good clubs in Cork, like I had last year. Now we had a really tough battle with them and it came out on a 1 point win and that. And so the Éire Óg yesterday, Éire Óg have been in five finals over the last 5 years and they eventually won their first one there a couple of weeks ago or last week. And yeah, they have a lot of really good players, like, you know, and we needed to be at our best. And yes, but in particular, our defence were very, very good, I thought, yesterday. You know, they stayed really compact and they stopped a lot of their good players getting through. So, I mean, the fact that we limited them to, I think, how many scores? We limited them to seven scores in 70 minutes of football, 80 minutes of football. I think that's a good credit to our defence.
Absolutely, Ian. And again, like you said, when you factor in a lot of different things yesterday, conditions and many more, it's not about flashy football and certain styles of play and stuff like that. Again, it's just a case of getting over the line. But one thing I've always found when watching Comer Rangers, Ger, and it's testament to yourselves and the group as well, like the teamwork throughout the pitch is just phenomenal. You can see it, like they are really, really willing to just give up everything for one another. There's no room for egos. You've just got a fantastic group to work with.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got something like 30 players on the panel at the moment now. But yeah, we brought on, we use a lot of subs. I think 7 or 8 players we brought on yesterday. And again, you know, the starting 15 is the starting 15, but there's none of them fit. They emptied the tank when they're out there again. And you know, those girls came off there yesterday, and you know, and the girls went on and took up the mantle there, and it didn't look like we weakened the team at any stage, because yeah, the teamwork and the camaraderie between the group is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose, Ger, not in a bad way, but obviously after last year's Munster final, going into the provincial championship this year, for the group and yourselves, there's probably a little bit of a sense of unfinished business, is there?
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, we just, like, this group over the last 3 years, I know, like, I mean, just, they're continually to grow all the time, you know, and I think that's the fact, that's a big factor, I think. You know, they're just constantly wanting to learn and grow more, you know, in all the aspects of their development, you know, in terms of their physical side of things with Paddy Nugent there, the skill side with Declan Hassey, the tactical side then with Michael O'Loughlin there, and they work very hard on the mental side of their game as well. So, you know, they're just, if we see it going into Munster, every round that we advance in, it's an opportunity to learn and grow again. I think that's the mindset of the players, and I think it's a good mindset to have, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very hard to look past exactly what's in front of you. And I suppose exactly what is in front of you now is the challenge of Kilmichael of Clare in the semi-finals this coming weekend. And again, I know it's a home fixture and that, you know, plays its part. But again, it's just never easy when you're in this stage of competitions. Munster semi-finals, they're hard fought.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, yeah, we're playing them now next weekend. I believe it's next Saturday. Just waiting on full confirmation of that. But we've a home game again, so we won't have to travel, so that'll be helpful. But yeah, the Clare champions, we wouldn't be taking anything too lightly. Now they've got a lot of good players. We don't know a lot about them at the moment, but you know, we'll spend the next few days trying to find out something, a few bits about them. But yeah, it'll never be easy. And again, as I said, it'll be an opportunity for us to learn and grow and develop our game even further, you know, and that's the way we'll prepare for it, and that's the way we look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the turnaround time, Ger, like you won the county final on the 3rd, you were playing out again yesterday, about 15 days in the break, and then back-to-back weekends again. Is it a bit difficult in terms of like trying to get trainings going and stuff like that in the middle of the week, or I suppose you're in the privileged position of you are where everyone wants to be?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, we're really grateful to be in this position. You know, a lot of teams would like to be in that position that we're in. But yeah, look, in terms of physical side of things, you know, we'll manage that carefully. Like we have Paddy Nugent there looking after the physical side of things. He does an excellent job with Stephen Flynn, the physio there again. Now they'll go and do the recovery work today after the game. And it's training. To train in between these intense games would be only light and recovery type stuff, you know, but you know, we just have to manage that, and it's a good position to be in.
Definitely. And just the final one, Ger, I'd encourage everybody that is around on Saturday, if they can, get down and support this club in the Mullerans GA grounds. Because again, fantastic support throughout the course of the season. I know you had a great crowd yesterday despite the terrible weather. So again, that really galvanises the group because it's fantastic to know not just Cumber Rangers people are behind them, but all of Waterford as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The support we had there yesterday was absolutely outstanding. You know, I think it really drove the team on. And again, the Mullerans venue is an absolutely fantastic venue. And again, we have to mention that we're very grateful to the Mullerans for the use of their pitch again yesterday. And we've a home game again now this weekend, and we'll talk to the Mullerans, and hopefully we'll be able to get that venue again. We have to confirm that yet, but it would be fantastic if we get it there again. They were so helpful to us and organising car parking and everything, you know, is absolutely, they're fantastic. We're very grateful for them.
Absolutely. Just leave you to focus on the football itself. Ger, really, really hope everything goes well at the weekend. Massive congratulations on that great victory yesterday, and fingers crossed the next time I'm talking to you, we can be looking ahead to a Munster final. Ger Power, thanks a million.
Thanks, Jordan.
We'll leave it there for this week. Thanks very much for listening to The Last Leg as always. Just a reminder, Waterford FC versus St. Patrick's Athletic on Friday night, live on WLR, thanks to John Murphy Carpets. You can join Ray Scott and John Frost from 7:30 p.m. on a massive night for the Blues. Plenty of GAA action across the course of the weekend as well that we'll be well on top of, myself and Tomás McCarthy. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Monday.